Well, thank you for the invitation to come here. I'm very sorry that I cannot speak in Hungarian. If I spoke in Hungarian, it would be very, very short. I will try and speak slowly. I know that for almost all of you, English is a foreign language, so I will try and speak slowly. I will probably not cover everything that is on the outline that will be shown. We will just adjust according to time. So what time should I finish? At
30 minutes.
You said 40 minutes.
40. All right.
Yeah. Negotiations going on here. Yes. Okay, so our first point is, the heading is John Calvin, Catholic Theologian. And my first point, very briefly, which actually isn't on there, is about the words Protestant and Catholic. It is normal in conversation today to contrast Protestants with Catholics, by Catholic meaning Roman Catholic. So normal is this that it is not uncommon for scholars writing on the history or theology of the Reformation to follow this practice, without realizing how ideologically loaded it is. It is like referring to one side of the Reformation divide as the true church and the other side as the heretics. Such language will be recognized by everybody to be partisan, to be taking one side. It is no less partisan to call one side of the Reformation divide the Catholic Church. A major point of dispute at the Reformation was where the Catholic Church is truly to be found. And the first and really major point is to look at Calvin and his use of the word Catholic. So we need the next. There we are. And again. Yeah. So this is now possible thanks to the Institute for Reformatie Onderzoek at Apeldoorn in Holland, in the Netherlands, which has produced a database so one can search the whole of Calvin's writings for a particular word. And so I've been able to search through this database for all 58 volumes of the Calvini opera for the word Catholic to see exactly how he uses it. And I want to examine that under a number of headings. And first of all, we will look at the Institute here. The Institute's his most famous work. In the first edition, 1536, the word comes seven times. He says the Apostles' Creed is a brief compendium of the faith agreed on by the Catholic Church. The Apostles' Creed comes from the Catholic Church. And then again, as he expounds the Apostles' Creed, Calvin twice quotes this phrase, the Holy Catholic Church. What is the Catholic Church? He defines this as the whole number of the elect, whether angels or men, dead or alive, and living wherever they are. Here Calvin is thinking of the church as the mystical, invisible body of Christ. But shortly after this, he goes on to note that this society, this church, is Catholic, that is, universal, because there could not be two or three churches. And here he is clearly thinking in terms of the visible, organized church. That's four. The fifth time he uses it, when talking about assurance of faith, Calvin states, if each of us did not believe himself to be a member of it, we would vainly and fruitlessly believe there to be a Catholic Church. And then the creed goes on to speak of the communion of the saints. And this means, says Calvin, that in the Catholic Church, all the elect have reciprocal communion and participation in all goods. There are various different gifts, but all are gathered together into one body. And this is the Catholic Church, the mystical body of Christ. So that's 1536, his first very short edition of the Institutes. 3 years later, the second edition comes out, which is much bigger, over twice as long. But instead of seven references to it, there are now only two. All that is left is a quotation from the Creed and the statement that the Church is called Catholic or universal because there could not be two or three churches. So nothing new is added in 1539, but in the next edition, 1543, we have another reference. Calvin notes that Roman Catholics claim, because of having the see, the bishopric of Rome, Roman Catholics claim that the Catholic Church belongs to them alone. Calvin clearly does not agree with this. Now, this passage introduces a new element: opposition to Roman Catholic claims to being Catholic. And this more negative approach, opposition to Roman claims, was to predominate in Calvin's use of the word. The final edition in 1559 has no new references, but in fact drops one. So now we're back down to only two references. So the word Catholic appears seven times in the short 1536 edition, but in 1559, over five times as long, there are just two references. In 1536, all seven references are positive. But in 1559, one is positive and one is negative, opposing claims by Roman Catholics. Now, both of these changes, using the word less and using it now in a negative way, by which I mean they, Roman Catholics, are wrong to claim to be Catholic. That's what I mean by negative. Both of these changes are what is happening, we'll see, more widely in Calvin's works. Also, interestingly, in 1559, Calvin has a chapter comparing the false church with the true church. But significantly, he makes no use of the word Catholic. This was not a word that came naturally to him when he wanted to set out his positive vision of the church. Now, Calvin's letters, again, that's a special case, different to the other passages. In Calvin's works, the Calvini Opera, there are 10 volumes of letters, although not all of these letters are by Calvin himself. And the word Catholic comes almost 200 times in these volumes. But almost all of these references are either in letters by other people or in the footnotes of the editors. And actually, Calvin himself uses the word just three times in his letters. So 200 references in the 10 volumes, but only three actually by Calvin. And each of these three make the same point. They criticize Roman Catholics for claiming to be the Catholic Church, to hold the Catholic faith. It's remarkable that Calvin makes such little use of the word in all his letters. It is all the more remarkable because the letters are often dealing with church-related issues. He's writing to people about the church in Poland, the church in England, about the church. And yet the word Catholic hardly ever appears. By contrast, the people who are writing to Calvin in those volumes, the word comes 38 times. So in the letters to Calvin, 38 times. In the letters by Calvin, 3 times. Quite a contrast. Well, the next section I just mentioned briefly, these are simply times when the word Catholic comes because Calvin is quoting from the Creed. So that we'll move on, I think, to the next one, which is positive references to the Catholic Church, where Calvin is using the word in an approving way. It comes in his catechism, his first catechism, which is, of course, for teaching children. And there he notes, the church is Catholic, that is universal, because there could not be two or three churches. That is in 1537. And the next catechism, 1542, also refers positively to the Catholic Church and asks what is the meaning of the word Catholic. The answer is that by it we are taught that as there is one head of all the faithful, so all ought to unite in one body, so there may be one church spread throughout the whole earth and not a number of churches. Then another reference, in 1553, commenting on John 10:16, where Jesus says there will be one flock, Calvin says, this is so that all the children of God may be gathered into one body, even as we confess that there is one holy Catholic Church, there must be one body with one head. But he acknowledges, 1553, that the flock today seems to be divided into different folds, Lutherans, Reformed, and so on. But in response, he says, there is still a unity in that the same word is preached, the same sacraments are used, there's the same order of prayer, and everything necessary for professing the faith. 2 years later, preaching a sermon on Deuteronomy, Calvin offers his own brief confession of faith, of an evangelical faith in opposition to Rome, which includes the statement that we believe the Holy Catholic Church. It's obviously drawn from the Apostles' Creed, but he isn't just quoting the Apostles' Creed. He is writing his own confession at that point. So there are some of the positive references to the Catholic Church. Calvin also, four times between, four times between 1538 and 43, affirms that his teaching is in accord with the Catholic faith. The first translation of his catechism is offered as a visible model of our teaching, or rather, he says, a Catholic witness. In 1543, against Pigius on the bondage of the will, he claims that the Reformers' teaching on original sin is that of the Catholic Church. This was a shrewd move, as Pigius's doctrine was most certainly not that of the Catholic Church. And again, he makes the same point two other times in that year. What is the positive content of Calvin's teaching? Clearly, Calvin did not accept the Roman claim to be the Catholic Church. But where is the Catholic Church? Here, Calvin is less clear. In 1536, he identifies it with the invisible church. By 1559, he is placing much greater stress on the visible church. Throughout his writings, he interprets Catholicity in terms of the unity of the church. The church is Catholic, so there can only be one church. But where is this? What is this church? It is the society of the faithful whom God has predestined to eternal life. And what is meant by this term, Catholic or universal? Well, he says, just as there is one head of the faithful, so all ought to unite in one body, so there may be one church spread throughout the whole earth and not a number of churches. In the light of what was to happen later, maybe this word ought, there ought, we all ought to unite in one body, may perhaps be very significant, because, of course, that didn't happen. Then, next section, accusations of abandoning Catholicity. There are nine places where Roman Catholics, or once Lutherans, accuse the reformers of the reformed of no longer being Catholic. And Calvin quotes what his opponents are saying in order to reject these accusations. So throughout his career, Calvin faced the accusation that he and his colleagues had abandoned the Catholic faith and the unity of the Catholic Church. In addition to facing these negative attacks, Calvin also faced repeated claims to being Catholic on the part of Roman Catholics. So many of these are there that we will consider them in three groups: the commentaries, the sermons, and the treatises. So, papist claims and the commentaries. There are 21 uses of the word Catholic in Calvin's commentaries. Three of these we've already met, and they are positive ones. But the remaining 18 are all opposing Roman Catholic claims to being Catholic. The New Testament commentaries were from 1548 to 53, and in these he repeatedly mentions that Roman Catholics claim the word Catholic Church, and Calvin rejects this. And in the Old Testament commentaries from 1557 to 1565, the year after he died, not that he was still writing commentaries, but they hadn't yet been published, there again the same statements are made, that Roman Catholics claim to be the Catholic Church and so on, and Calvin does not accept this. So, from the year 1548, we have a range of passages opposing Roman Catholic claims to be the Roman claims to be the Catholic Church and the Catholic faith. Calvin does not, of course, concede these claims. He does not accept that Rome is the Catholic Church. But at the same time, he himself was less often claiming to be Catholic. Until the mid-1540s, so roughly for his first 10 years, Catholic was something overwhelmingly that Calvin affirmed and claimed for himself. After the mid-1540s, for his last 20 years, it increasingly becomes something that Calvin denies to the papists. He does not grant that they are the Catholic Church. He doesn't cease to claim to be the Catholic Church himself, but he makes that claim increasingly rarely. Then in the sermons, there are 36 occurrences of the word Catholic in those sermons which appear in the Calvini Opera. And of these 36, I've referred to one already, which was positive. The other 35 are all negative. all opposing other people's claims to be Catholic. They are statements like, they say they're good Catholics, but look at the way they live. They live immoral lives. Or they say they are good Catholics, but they are opposed to the gospel. Those sort of comments, which is attacking other people who are claiming to be Catholic. So the use of the word Catholic in the sermons is almost entirely negative, in the sense that it's not Calvin saying, I, Calvin, am Catholic, but Calvin saying, those people there claim to be Catholic, but they are not. So in that sense, it is overwhelmingly negative. And again, in his treatises, the same picture, we see the same picture as well. From 1543 on, in his treatises, Calvin increasingly is writing against people who are claiming to be Catholic and questioning this. And François Baudoin, I put his name down specially, this was a work of his in 1561 against François Baudoin, who used to be his secretary. And in that work especially, there is conflict over the word Catholic. And it is because Baudoin is claiming that he, Baudoin, represents the Catholic Church, and Calvin is objecting and saying, no, this is not the true Catholic Church. Rome is not the true Catholic Church. I'll just move briefly to the translations, because Calvin wrote normally in Latin, but then he translated a lot into French, and works like the Catechisms he wrote in French and translated into Latin. And sometimes the word Catholic is in the French but not in the Latin, or the other way round. But in fact, it is found more often in the French. So there was no embarrassment about using the word Catholic for a French audience, which meant a less educated, non-theological audience. So he was not embarrassed about using the word Catholic in that context. Where there is a change is quite often where the Latin has the word Orthodox. In the French, this is often translated as Catholic, which is an interesting change. So, conclusion to this part. Calvin continued to speak positively of the Catholic Church throughout his career. The term comes seven times in 1536 Institutes, but only one of these seven times survives to 1559. The phrase from the Creed is quoted a further seven times in his works, and it's also linked with the forgiveness of sins. There are seven other positive references going as far as 1562. Four times, between 1538 and 43, he aligns his teaching with the Catholic faith. Adding all these together, we have 25 positive references. Seven are from 1536, 11 from 1537 to 43, four from 1547 to 53, and just three from the 1560s. So while these statements extend throughout Calvin's life, it is clear that they become less and less frequent, a trend which is borne out by the fact that there are only two references in the very long 1559 Institutes, but seven in the very brief 1536 version. With Calvin's negative comments about the Catholic Church, that is, his rejection of Roman claims to be Catholic, the picture is reversed. The first such references come in 1543 and 1547. The number then grows dramatically, with 18 in the commentaries from 1548, 35 in the sermons from 1552, 3 in the letters, and a further 12 in the treatises, all in 1561. This makes a total of 75 such negative comments. Just 8 from the 1540s and at least 30 from the 1560s. There are two points to note. The negative comments outnumber the positive by more than 3-1. Secondly, as the number of positive comments drops, so the number of negative comments rises. Why this shift? The most natural assumption would be that the negative comments were provoked by the barrage of claims to Catholicity that Calvin faced from his opponents, together with the claim that the Reformers had abandoned Catholicity. In the face of this, Calvin became less enthusiastic about using the word for himself, thus pointing the way towards the eventual development where Catholic came to mean Roman Catholic. Calvin continued to affirm his belief in one Catholic Church, but this is not something that he chose to say very often. As he so rarely claimed it for himself as time went on, and so often faced it claims to it from his opponents, it is an easy step simply to identify the term with his opponents. Not a step that Calvin makes, but one that could easily be made. So that is Calvin and the word Catholic, which is our most substantial section. Much more briefly, I'd be glad to know, Calvin and the Catholic Canon. In one of the most famous chapters of the Institutes on the inner witness of the Spirit, Calvin asks some questions about the canon. Those people, he says, mock the Holy Spirit when they ask, who can convince us that these writings, the Bible, come from God? Who can persuade us to receive one book in reverence, but to exclude another, unless the Church prescribe a sure rule for these matters? Basically, there are two questions Calvin is posing at this point. One, how do we know that the Bible is the Word of God? Two, which books belong to the canon of Scripture, to the contents page? In the rest of the chapter and the next chapter, Calvin gives a very important answer to the first question, his idea of the inner witness of the Spirit, bearing witness to the truth of Scripture. What the chapter completely fails to do is to give an answer to the other question, which books belong in the Bible? I'm not aware that Calvin ever tackled that question. While he expected each believer to derive confidence in Scripture from the witness of the Spirit, he equally clearly did not expect each believer to work out for himself which books do or do not belong to Scripture. He didn't tell his congregation to open the book of Esther, read it, and ask themselves, is this the word of God? Will the Holy Spirit witness to it? In that sense, the canon of Scripture is given, which is something we receive. In 1543, when discussing the authority of councils, Calvin rejects the idea that the authority of Scripture is grounded on the approval of the Church. And he asks the question, which council was it that put forward the canon of Scripture? Well, that's in 1543. In 3 years later, there was a clear answer to that, because the Council of Trent did, in 1546, give a list of which books they understood as part of Scripture. But the rhetorical question remains in all the future editions of the Institutes, which is a reminder of the fact that Calvin did not have the time to revise it as carefully as he should have done. He just missed that point. Well, what then was his response to the list of books produced by the Council of Trent? Calvin wrote an attack on the Council of Trent, and he objects to their decree on Scripture. He makes 4 points against it. First, he says, tradition, the Roman Catholics put tradition on the same level as Scripture. Secondly, their Old Testament canon includes the apocryphal books, books like Maccabees, which shouldn't be there. Thirdly, Roman Catholics claim that only the Vulgate translation is authentic. And fourthly, they say that Scripture is not to be interpreted against the interpretation of Holy Mother Church. Calvin objects to all these four points at length. But nowhere, nowhere does he give his own account of how to determine which books are canonical. If ever there was a context in which an answer to that question was called for, that was it. But Calvin was silent. Calvin provided a draft for the Gallican Confession, the 1559 Confession of Faith of the French Reformed Churches. Calvin's draft contained just one article on Scripture, but the French Synod expanded it to five. They list all the books of Old and New Testament, and then they state how we know that these books particularly are canonical. And we know that these books, we recognize these books as canonical, as the most certain rule of our faith, not just by the common accord and consent of the Church, but also by the testimony and interior persuasion of the Holy Spirit. So they do acknowledge the fact that this list comes from the common accord and consent of the Church. So the Gallican Synod acknowledged, as Calvin did not, that he was in fact following the Catholic canon, certainly for the New Testament. The canon has been described as the trump card of the Roman Catholic apologist. The trump card has meant something which is very difficult for Protestants to find an answer to. And so maybe that is why Calvin just steered clear of this particular issue. The fact remains, however, that he did accept the Catholic canon, the list of New Testament books handed down in the Catholic Church over the years. And in fact, he criticized recent Roman Catholic medieval tradition by appealing to the Catholic scripture, Catholic scriptures. And so this is another aspect of Calvin as Catholic theologian. Right, well, my last heading is Calvin and the Catholic tradition, and time is running a bit short, so I think what I will do here, under this, we have, when it turns, remembering how many headings we have? Oh, has it disappeared? Well, never mind. There are a number of headings, and I will, just because of time, give a brief summary for each one. First of all, the headings. There's the primitive and purer church, which is roughly the church of the first 500 years, and this was the period which... Ah, we're getting there. That's it, yes. Yes, there we are, that's right, yes. So that's roughly the period of the first 500 years, and there, most of the figures that Calvin appealed to come within this period. The two main ones that he appealed to outside this period would be Gregory the Great, who is just a little way outside, the Bishop of Rome, who was Pope, and Bernard of Clairvaux in the 12th century. So, and Calvin, within this period, Calvin was especially interested in the Western fathers, the Latin-speaking fathers, rather than the Eastern ones, although he does quote a number of fathers from the Eastern Church. And he regards these figures as important witnesses to the truth, and he will cite them and appeal to them, call them, as I say, like in a law court, as witnesses to confirm what he understands to be the truth, but he certainly doesn't regard them as having any infallible authority, and he is prepared to say that they have gone wrong if necessary. Now, special pride of honour in that period comes to Augustine, and this was not just for Calvin, but for
practically everybody at that time, Augustine was regarded as the great authority. And Calvin famously made claims in more than one doctrine. Augustine is totally ours. Augustinus totus noster es, and Maria Salang von Ravensweig, who's there actually, wrote a book with that as its title. So he is expert on Augustine and Calvin's use of Augustine. And Calvin clearly believed that on many issues he was simply reaffirming the teaching of Augustine. And to some extent, that is true, although not perhaps quite to the extent that he thought it was true, and even less to the extent that he claimed it was true, because he obviously was selective. He appealed to Augustine when Augustine supported him, and when Augustine didn't support him, then generally he just passed over him in silence. And his approval of Augustine was especially in the area of dogmatic theology. When it comes to exegesis, to interpreting the Bible, Calvin was less approving of Augustine and preferred Chrysostom, especially for the New Testament. And then we have the councils of the church. There are generally reckoned to be seven general universal councils of the church. The first four Calvin approved: Nicaea 325, Constantinople 381, Ephesus 431, Chalcedon 451. And he said, I venerate them from my heart and desire that they may be honored by all. Now, unfortunately, he never mentions the next two. At Constantinople in 553 and 680-81. Two quite important councils for the person of Christ, and Calvin simply never refers to them. So we just don't know exactly how he viewed them. But he does mention the seventh council, which is the Nicaea in 787, which put forward the veneration of images, and Calvin regards that as totally wrong, as idolatrous. And so he clearly did not regard councils as automatically being right. And his view of the Seventh Council, as I say, was extremely negative. So the early church, Augustine councils, and then we have the corrupt church. After the Golden Age, the roughly first 500 years, the church fell into decline. And for Calvin, this is not a sudden thing. It wasn't that one day you had the pure church and the next morning suddenly the church was corrupt. It was gradual. And for different doctrines, Calvin gives different dates as to where the church went wrong. So the church had a carnal view of Christ's presence in the Lord's Supper had been held, said Calvin, for more than 600 years from about 900. Whereas the heights of papal power of the tyranny of the Pope had only been reached about 400 years previously, and so on. Other different doctrines went wrong at different times. So it's not that there was a sudden fall from the true church to a corrupt church, but gradual decline from purity to the bad state that Calvin saw in his own time. And this corruption he saw especially linked to the rise of the papacy. When it comes to medieval theologians, unfortunately, Calvin hardly ever quotes them at all. And apart from two Roman Catholic textbooks by Peter Lombard and Gratian. And so it's very difficult to know exactly which figures he has in mind, and there's a lot of guesswork needed to be done there. Finally, the true church. Did the true church cease to exist during the time of medieval darkness? No, Calvin would certainly not admit that. But during the dark period of the Middle Ages, the true church didn't necessarily have visible form, and he gives the example of in the time of Elijah in 1 Kings, when there were 7,000 who had not bowed the knee to Baal. And so for Calvin, the church became increasingly corrupt, but there was still, God's elect was still there. There was still some continuity through to the time of the Reformation. So conclusion, brief conclusion. Calvin was not willing to concede that the Roman Catholic Church was the Catholic Church, nor was he willing to surrender his own claim to being part of that Catholic Church. But he remains tantalizingly vague as to precisely what that means. It was commented that in the famous controversy in England between William Tyndale, who translated the Bible, and Thomas More, that they each had two basic arguments. More's argument was, we are the Catholic Church, the true church, so what we teach is the true gospel. Tyndale's argument was that the Roman Church had departed from the gospel and so was not the true church. In other words, for More, the church defines the gospel. For Tyndale, the gospel defines the church. And the same contrast can be seen in Calvin's controversies with Roman Catholics. Thank you.